and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I just say for those that have not been here to come in and see the charts may be a little in whether intimidating or kind of wonder what's going on. For the last few months, we've been working our way through the book of Revelation, and we're not yet finished, but it's a very important and valuable part of the Word of God. And I am finding more and more as time goes on that if we are to understand what the church is, God, I'm talking about God's people and what God's people are to be, it takes at least a rudimentary understanding of the book of Revelation, because it really opens up what God's people have been through in the past and what we are facing in the future and where we are today. And someone, while we were down in Mexico, Brother Omar had said that some had told him, say, well, Revelation doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And the red flags go up for me if anybody told me a part of the New Testament doesn't matter. Because all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's important that we understand it. And what we don't understand, we can ask God to fill in the gaps for us. We'll know how to serve Him better. Think about the words of Paul this morning when he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. This morning I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings deliverance. Jesus also said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? It'll make you free. It'll make you free. And what we have studied as we've looked in Revelation is that religion binds people up. Religion, man's creeds, man's ideas, man's opinions. And that's when we look at all these charts and see where, from Catholicism to Protestantism to all these different sects and different churches and groups, folks, those things bring bondage. Those things bring bondage. But what brings liberty to us this morning is when we get our eyes on Jesus Christ and truly allow the Word of God to be our rule of faith. This is what brings deliverance. And this is what the Lord is still looking this morning for, people who are hungry for Him, hungry for truth, and are willing to lift up Jesus to the exclusion of themselves and the institutions of man. So when people, anytime you find a group of people that are promoting themselves as the doorway to salvation, you can know that God's not in that thing. We are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also said, I am the door. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's what the church is all about this morning. The church, God's church in this generation, is still about people coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the reason why the name of the church in the New Testament is the Church of God. You will find no other name of a church or denomination there. It's the Church of God at Rome, the Church of God at Corinth. And the emphasis is God. A lot of people are putting the emphasis on the church and not on God. The emphasis is God. This is God's church. And we are in His church when we come by way of the blood. And what we have found as we have studied through Revelation, we're going to get into a little bit more this morning. But what we find is every time that God sent truth and revealed truth to His people and revealed truth to the world, many times they begin to secularize it. They begin to rally around one point of doctrine rather than accept it in with the whole Word of God, lifting up Jesus Christ as the ultimate standard. And so then we find apostasy. We find compromise, we find men's religion, and it's brought a lot of confusion in our world today. Where are you going to go to church? What are you going to believe? What are you going to worship? Folks, if our message individually or as a people ever becomes anything but Christ, the Word, and the Spirit, it means we've just formed another little group. But the Lord is interested in a people who are seeking here. Reminded of the woman at the well. I'd like to just begin over there this morning in the 4th chapter of John. When Jesus was at the well and asked the Samaritan woman to give Him a drink of water, He asked for a drink of water. And he said, woman, believe me. We'll begin reading in verse 19. He said, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He began to tell her about her life. Began to talk to her, and she realized that this man was different. And he said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. In other words, already you've got controversy. Where are you going to worship God? Some say where the Samaritans built their temple, and some say worship in Jerusalem. So where are you going to worship him today? Well, Jesus said unto her, and folks, when Jesus speaks, we need to take heed. We need to be careful about dogma, whether it's from people that we know or have read about. We need to be careful about dogma amongst us, and we need to lift up what Jesus said. He said, woman, believe me. In other words, take note of what I'm telling you. He said, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is. In other words, now is the accepted time, because Christ was there. He said, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Folks, this still applies for us today. If we are going to worship the Lord, it must be with two things. Spirit and in truth. And that is what most of the religious world is neglecting, one or the other, or oftentimes both. If we are going to worship the Father acceptably, it must be with the Spirit. It's not based on a hierarchy of man. It's not based on a group of elders leading the church. It's not on a parliament of ministers, if you will, dictating what we live and what we don't, but it is the Spirit of God that giveth life. And it is based on the foundation of the Word of God that this is what we believe this morning. And when people say, why are you teaching that, or why do you live that way? We need to know, thus saith the Word of God. It's not because, well, my pastor said don't do that. Folks, that can only carry you so far, can't it? You're going to find yourself in a mess. But when someone comes along and says, why do you do that, or why don't you do it? It's because the Bible says this. And the Spirit of the Lord has revealed to me and given me conviction on this. That's why I don't do it. Folks, this is a personal salvation. He's not talking about people being independent and everybody doing their own thing. But he said, if you're going to worship God, it must be in spirit and in truth. I know people this morning, they've got the truth. They've got the doctrine of the New Testament. They've got the T's crossed and the I's dotted. But I look on their life and I don't see the Spirit of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life. Folks, where the Spirit is, there is fire. Where the Spirit is, there is the fruit of the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and long-suffering. Well, I've got the truth. And then we become self-righteous. I've got the truth. No, folks, truth is something the Lord graciously gives to us. That's what truth is. It's when God reveals His Word to us. But folks, doctrine alone doesn't save us. It's the Spirit. The Word killeth. The letter killeth. But the Spirit giveth life. It's the Spirit of God in a personal relationship that doctrine does not save. And if all we have is doctrine, do you know what we become spiritually? We become a wax museum of has-beens. To come in and look around and say, well, I see this is what they have. Where is the life? I don't want to go to a wax museum and see what someone used to look like. We want to see life this morning. Folks, where the Spirit is, there's life. And it's important for us not to neglect the working of the Holy Spirit in our life daily. That's why he said pray without ceasing. He's talking about a personal daily contact with God himself. Allowing the Spirit of the Lord to move us. But take note of this. The Holy Spirit never leads us independently of the Word. Sometimes people say, well, the Lord revealed to me such and such. And I sit back and think, no, that wasn't the Holy Spirit that led you. Because the Bible very clearly teaches. Had a man one time, he said the Lord had heard of a pastor of a congregation. He said the Lord had showed him that he could remarry and change in his marriage situation. And it's like, no, that's very, it was clearly contrary to what the Bible teaches. But yet he took that as something, folks, the Spirit of the Lord is going to work in tandem with the Word of God. And there are some people we see the Spirit of the Lord working in their life. We see the love and the joy, but we see they're missing truth. They're missing doctrine. Do you know it is easier to fellowship, at least? It's easier to fellowship someone that has a good spirit that doesn't have all the doctrine down. It's a whole lot easier to get along with them, I'll tell you that. It's a lot easier to get along with someone that has a right spirit and a real desire for the things of God. Maybe they don't understand all the Bible teaches, but folks, I can get along with someone like that a lot better than I can someone that's rigid and they've got the doctrine, I agree with it, but they've got a bad spirit. That's someone that's kind of hard to work with. Someone hard to get along with. Folks, in this dispensation, Jesus is looking for people. It said the Father is seeking people that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I say, Lord, help us this morning that we would worship You acceptably. Not because we've built our own little temple over here. And that is exactly, as we studied this, it's exactly what's happened in Protestantism. There were points of light. There are some groups of people that they almost worship the doctrine of baptism. If you've been baptized, nothing else really matters. You've been baptized. Well, that's a part of doctrine, but we don't exalt it. Some people have the doctrine of what they believe is going to happen in the end times. And if you accept that, they'll fellowship you. It doesn't matter what else you believe, but if you agree with them on this particular point, then you're brothers and sisters in the Lord. But Jesus, the true church of God, are people that have come and opened up their heart, not worshiping the image of the beast. In other words, not worshiping man's religion that has exalted traditions. This is a sign of sectism, folks, when you exalt tradition above the Word. And it doesn't matter what name you have on the chapel door or how long your family's been worshiping God. When you exalt tradition above the Word and the Spirit, or even put it on an equal par, it becomes a sign of a man's religion and sect making. Well, when we begin to exalt those things, we're going to begin to find that God can't bless it. But what God can bless this morning is when we lift Him up. Lift Him up. And folks, lifting up Christ does not negate the Word of God, because the Scripture in John said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Some say, well, Jesus only, it's doctrine that divides. No, true doctrine, I'm not talking about man's dogma. We're not talking about what a group of ministers decided somewhere. We're talking about what the Bible says, and this is Christ Himself. The Word of God, this represents God's will for us. Jesus came and He lived out this truth that is written in the New Testament as an example. That's what we are to lift up, not ignoring any part of it. So as we return back then over to the 14th chapter of Revelation, we left off here a couple of weeks ago. John in his vision, it said he looked and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. And with him 144,000, having the Father's name written in their foreheads. In other words, that 144,000 is just representative of God's people. But here in the previous chapters we saw they were worshiping an image. They were worshiping religion. They were worshiping their own doctrines, their own ideology, their own theology. But now we have a vision of a pure church. We have a vision of a church that's been restored from the early morning, and it said they were gathered around. It said the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and the Father's name was written on their foreheads. In other words, they were identified with God Himself. And how are we identified with God? The Word and the Spirit. I see Christ in your life. I see the Lord's mark in your life. Because in the chief way of knowing God's people, it's not by the clothes we wear. Are those things important? It's a small part. But Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If what? If you have love one to another. Have you ever seen someone that was dressed modestly? Didn't see God's love in their life. What a reproach. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. In other words, these things you ought to have done, but not left the other undone. The weightier matters of love and mercy and compassion and gentleness. And here we find the pure church restored. We saw a vision of all the apostasy and all of the compromise, but now we see there were people that were gathering together and they were not lifting up religion. They were focused around the Lamb. The Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And here in verse 4, and this is summary, but here in verse 4 it said, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they were virgins. In other words, they had not committed spiritual fornication. They had not sold themselves to man's religion. I want to be a part of this denomination. I want to be a part of this group. How are we in God's church? Be washed in the blood of Jesus. Who's a member of God's church? It's not your name in a book somewhere. We're members in the church of God if you've entered in by way of the blood. And saints, I want to share something with you. And I've been challenged anew this week as I was even studying more in this. That if we begin to practically act any way different, what we begin to do is just make Church of God sectism. Do we still believe all the songs in our book? We extend our hand in fellowship to who? To every blood-washed one. Do we really mean that? Lord, help us. And this is why it's important. Lord, give us a vision of your church. Give us a vision of what it means to serve you. From the beginning of the Holiness Reformation in the late 1800s, one of the key ingredients of that reformation was the unity of God's people. In other words, we're not unifying in man's denominations, in man's group, but it is embracing all those that have been saved and washed in the blood, because God is not a polygamist. He has one bride. The bride of Christ. And so it's God's will for everybody to come together. Not with our own standards and our own creeds, but living based on the Word of God. That this is the rule of faith. This is the measuring rod that should be in our life. It's the Word of God. And so here we have a picture of a people who had lifted up Christ, who were keeping themselves unspotted from the world. And he said, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, and in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. You know, that is speaking about those after a time of darkness, in time of Catholicism. And then we have the 350 years of the Protestants dividing and breaking, and its truth was scattered. The Lord sent a reformation. He sent another ray of light to the earth, calling people to come together and all the saved be one. Now, you remember what the devil does every time God does something? Devil changes his clothes, right? So then the devil comes in when the message of unity of God's people, the devil changes clothes with an ecumenical spirit. In other words, saying, oh yes, let's just all be one. So the Baptists and the Jehovah's Witness and the Methodists and the Lutherans and the Wesleyans, we'll just all be one group of people. And then they set up a system. No, folks, that's not what the message was. The message was leave. Leave your creeds of men. Leave your hierarchies. Leave what you have built up in your systems of religion and come and truly allow Christ to be the head of the church. Truly allow the Holy Spirit to be the one to guide you. Truly allow the test of fellowship not to be the name on the book, not for the ministers if you went through seminary and got our stamp on your papers, but let the test of fellowship be that the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied and you're preaching the Word of God. And part of the Word of God is holiness, is it not? So anybody that comes along and says, I'm a preacher and I'm saved, then if I know their fruit, I'm going to see the fruit of holiness, or not? Holiness, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness in conduct, holy in life, holy in attitude, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that is what we begin to see in this passage of Scripture. The Lord went from showing apostasy to showing John a vision of people that were coming out of men's religion and men's systems to come together and worship Him in spirit and in truth one more time. There is a passage over in Ezekiel in the 34th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 34. Begin reading with verse 11. And understand in the prophecies, in the prophets, that there were literal application to much of what was written in these books. But many of those prophecies also pointed to another day in the New Testament, a fulfillment. They were almost types. They were types and shadows of something to come in the future. And here it said, as a shepherd. Well, verse 11, for thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Do you know that this was an actual, you look at history, and history itself points out that there was truth in this. I'll just point over the chart here. You went from a time of darkness and absence of truth. The Roman Catholicism, where Christ was not the head of the church, the Pope was. Where they were praying basically to idols. They were praying to people. It still happens today. And then the Lord began, with the Protestant Reformation, began to give points of light. The just shall live by faith. Began to get understanding of full immersion baptism. We're not regenerated by baptism, but it is a witness of a good conscience toward God. Began to give different light. But then what happened is, around those points of light, people just made a whole nother system of religion. They made another system of religion. And so here the passage says the shepherd is going to come and he's going to start seeking out. In this dark and cloudy time, there's obscurity there. He's going to come and he's wanting to call people out of man's religion. Do you know that truth is still relevant today? And that means whether it's from the church down the road or where we're sitting right here. The Lord wants to call us out in our minds of man's religion that we're living based on tradition. We're living based on what a group of ministers said rather than the Word and the Spirit having preeminence among us. Folks, we need the Holy Spirit to give His vision of what it means to serve God this morning. I am thankful for the restoration of light. I am thankful that the Lord in His mercy brought light. And He said, I'm out like a shepherd calling people out of a cloudy and of a dark day. And very similarly, if you'll turn with me to the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah in the 14th chapter. In the 6th verse. It said, it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. You know, that is just historically exactly what happened during the Protestant time, that 350 years. It wasn't dark. It wasn't dark like it was in the time of Catholicism. But there was not one people that had the light on salvation. Saved by grace through faith. Saved by the blood of Jesus. Had the Holy Spirit working among them. Had light of baptism. Were practicing the ordinances of the Lord's Supper, but also feet washing. Do you know today how few people practice feet washing? Jesus said, happy are ye if ye do them. To follow Him in an ordinance of feet washing, in humbling ourselves one to another. That's what that ordinance is a reminder of. In other words, he wants us not to have our focus on man, those that would be called rabbi, those that would be called reverend, those that would be exalted of their position, but he said, you're all brothers in the Lord. He gifts us differently. He gives some the gift of prophecy, and he places different ones in the body, but we're all workers together where Christ has the preeminence. And when we say, why do you believe it? I don't have to go blow off an old book on my shelf. But I can get out the Word of God, and I can say, this is what we believe is right here. The Word and the Spirit. And folks, if we do anything other than that, books are good. Don't misunderstand me. Good books are good. Good books are good. But folks, they never compare to the Word of God. In anything I read or anything I hear, it's only as good as it reflects what is in the Word of God. Same thing with those that have gone before us. And y'all have heard me say it before, and I'm going to say it again. God bless Martin Luther with light and understanding. The just shall live by faith. He blessed John Wesley, the Wesley brothers, with understanding of the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. But we don't exalt them. They were men, and if you study history out, you will find that there were a lot of doctrinal shortcomings in their lives as well, personal shortcomings as well. D.S. Warner was a minister that God used in the 1880s in the Holiness Reformation, trying to preach a message of unity, a message to come out from men's churches, and let's be in unity if we're all God's children. That was an important message, but we don't worship or exalt Him any more than we do others of the past. And it's only as true as it lines up with the Word of God. In that day, Zechariah 14:6, it shall come to pass in that day, the light shall not be clear nor dark. It was scattered truth. But it said that it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. At evening time, towards the end of time, before the Lord comes back and says it's enough. Before he says it's over, there would be a time that light would be revealed, that there could still be people that could be living acceptable to God, that we're not worshiping religion, we're not bowing down to an organization that we made another church. What denomination are you, or what brand are you? You know, even among Church of God groups, people say, oh, where do you go to church? Well, Church of God. Well, what is that? Are you out of this state or that state, or where's your headquarters? What's the answer to that? I'm Church of God today because that's what the Bible says is people are called. That's the reason. It's not because we incorporated in 1880. It's not because we incorporated in 19 whatever it was with this congregation. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's because that's what the Bible said. That's what God called His people. We're not to be named after the Son. We're to be named after the Father, is what the Scripture says. And so then they ask about that. This is every blood-washed one. If you're saved, you're in the Church of God, whether you know it or not. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. But these Scriptures pointed to a restoration of truth that was lost in the early morning time. Remember how quickly people apostatized from the truth from the early morning church? During the writings of John, even John the Revelator, he was already talking about apostasy that was slipping in. And now we see through this vision that God gave John that in the last days, the Lord had called people out of men's religion. Folks, that's where I want to be today. I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be guilty of just being another group. And it concerns me. People say, oh, Church of God. Okay, so you can explain the biblical theology of all of that. But then you know what it still comes down to? So what brand are you? In other words, there's this group that calls himself that, and there's this group. And do you know when we begin to go down that road, if we're not careful, we will just begin to establish another little Church of God sect. Unless we say, Lord, we're going to stand on the mountain of Zion. We're going to gather around the Lamb. We're going to promote your word. We're not going to be closed to the working of the Spirit in our life or in anybody else's life. We're going to be open as you reveal needs among us that we won't be protected. You know, sometimes people do it with their families, I've noticed. In other words, Someone, you can, have anybody here criticized your family? Anybody ever done that? Have you ever made some, you know, kind of criticize a family member? Nobody here? Don't raise your hand. Okay, Brother Cook, you and me both. Okay. But you know, maybe made a comment that was, you know, about a family member, said something that was, but you know what happens when someone else says something about your family? You see, there are sometimes people that don't, and I'm not a critical person of my family, but I'm gonna be a realist, I'm not gonna apologize for things they do if it's wrong. So someone says something about family and all of a sudden those are fighting words. You said something about my family member. Do you know, as a people this morning, if we're not careful, we can be so defensive of who we want to be that we're not willing to look in the mirror and say, Lord, we've got some needs. We've got some needs. We've got the truth. We can say historically, we've got truth. Folks, we only have truth in the Spirit this morning in as much as God is anointing and blessing us. So in our personal lives or as a body, if we've lost some of the fire, let's acknowledge it and start seeking God for a closer walk with Him. Let's not rely on the yesterdays. Folks, we're not going to make it through the temptations and trials and battles of life on the victories of yesterday. We need a fresh anointing in our midst today, and we need to start lifting up the Word and the Spirit, letting Him guide and move. But when we begin to close in the four walls, if we do that, it means we have become guilty of the very thing that God has called us out of. So I'm thankful that He called the people out, and it would be a day that in the evening time it would be light. Folks, we're in the evening time. And I am so grateful for the light that God has blessed us with, but it's only as good in our personal lives as we let it work. So I would encourage us this morning, let's let it work. Let the Word and the Spirit work in your life. And I'll just point us back, without taking the time to read it, to the 35th chapter of Isaiah, when it was talking about the children of Israel coming back from Babylon. Remember Babylon, a place of confusion, a place of bondage. A place where things of man was lifted up and exalted. And it said that they would return, the children of Israel would return. It said a highway would be there. It would be the way of holiness, and the ransom would return. The ransom of the Lord would return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Folks, there was a literal fulfillment of that. When the children of Israel were in Babylon, what did they say? They said, we need to just hang up our harps on the willow trees. How can we sing in a strange land? The ones in Babylon said, oh, sing us a song of your God. Sing us a song. Children of Israel said, how can we sing a song? We're in a strange land. But now the prophecy was for them, literally, it was, when you come out of Babylon, you'll be back on a highway of holiness. A highway is a place built up. That's what it means to be a highway. And they came back with songs and joy because we've left Babylon. We've left men's religion, and now we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Folks, the fulfillment of that is all of those that left and are still leaving today in our hearts and our lives around the world, whether we know them or not, those that are forsaking men's organized religions and saying, Lord, we want the Word and the Spirit to be exalted in our life. And so if we can't sing that kind of a song, we need to start asking ourselves, are we in Babylon? I've come to the place, you know, I'm just going to speak straight to us. I've come to the place in observation and experience that I think there are some people sitting in the pews of Church of God congregations that are in Babylon. They're bound up. They're bound up. Folks, truth sets free. We get bound up. We get bound up by this one and bound up by that one. No, Lord, help me to keep my vision walking on the highway of holiness, not because of this one, not because of that one, but because of the Word and the Spirit. And when there's someone that's wanting to quash and organize and set up that you've got to go through them and set up a hierarchy, folks, that's Babylon. Lord, help us to be led by the Holy Spirit, that we would still be the free people. As we walk on that highway of holiness, that we would continue those songs of joy because we've been set free, because we're worshiping the Lamb of God allowing the Word and the Spirit to have preeminence among us. God bless you all. Thank you for your attention.